Just a little under 2 weeks before the NFL draft. More draft coverage as we take a look at the defensive tackles and edge rushers. Top five guys, who's underrated, who's overrated, and who needs defensive tackles and edge rushers. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns. Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Chris Kostich. He's CJ Medeiros, Mr. Draft Guy. Today is Friday, April 11th. Draft day is now 13 days away. Getting a little bit closer, and we're starting to see more moves that may indicate more of what we're going to be seeing come draft time. Most notably, Joe Flacco being signed to the Browns earlier this morning. So one would probably indicate that they would be going defensive end at that point, or just not quarterback in general. So could be interesting to see how this plays out, at least for the Browns. I mean, the top four is going to shape how the rest of the draft is potentially going to go. Top five,
yes.
Yep. So going to be interesting to see how the next couple of weeks play out prior to the draft. But for all we know, like we said a couple weeks ago, everything is a smokescreen. Take everything for granted.
I mean, it's literally true. Like, this is draft season is smokescreen season. I mean, yesterday or the day before, Adam, another co-host of ours, sent this old tweet from, I think it was Daniel Jeremiah, about how, like, the Browns were going to take Josh Allen first overall. Then they just kind of didn't.
Yep.
The move they're still paying for to this day.
Yep.
Who am I kidding? Allen was a project, and they totally would have botched it, so it doesn't really matter.
What pick did he get?
Allen was like,
got him like mid-first, though. I can't even
or seven, because I know say draft they had like two first-rounders. They took Edmonds, and they took
Myles Garrett.
No. The Bills. They took Edmonds.
Oh. I thought you were still talking about the Browns.
And Josh Allen. Oh, for the Browns. No, they took him and Baker and Denzel Ward.
No, Baker was 2018.
Yeah, so was Denzel Ward. That's my point. He was picked like fourth after Baker.
Wait. What year did Josh Allen get drafted again?
2018.
Oh, I was thinking 2017.
No.
My bad. All right, let's take a look at the defensive tackles and edge rushers. More specifically, going to be looking more at like the top five guys, according to PFF. But obviously, CJ is very open to discussing other guys if other guys are deemed necessary of being named that top or being named into the conversation of being an underrated guy or an overrated guy. Looking at the defensive tackles first, Mason Graham is at the top of the list. Really, the top two guys in terms of defensive tackles are both Michigan guys, Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant. Michigan, man, they got some deep. They usually have top defenses, especially in that Big Ten. Big Ten is known for defense, so not too big of a surprise there. Walter Nolan from Ole Miss being number three, Derek Harmon being fourth, and Darius Alexander rounding out the list at Toledo. Toledo's kind of been sneaky a little bit this draft. There was another corner that I'm blanking on his name right now. But
last season, you mean?
No, I'm thinking of this season, or was it last season?
Yeah, last season, Quinyon Mitchell, who got drafted
That's right.
Super Bowl champion Quinyon Mitchell, actually.
Yes, Super Bowl champion Quinyon Mitchell. I could have swore there was another guy this year, though. Maybe I'm thinking of a different.
There's a safety who could go like the fifth round named Maxon Hook, who I feel like is going to get drafted from Toledo. He's another guy. And they like every so often, like they just put out someone who's like like, you know, like, for example, Kareem Hunt came out of Toledo. I mean, I don't know what's in the water in Toledo, Ohio, but hey, you know, if it works, it works. And but,
yeah, exactly. Man, now it's going to eat away at me because I feel like that it was this year. Well, there is one guy from ECU.
Yeah, that's Revel or Revel or
Siobhan Revel. Yeah. Anyways, so Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant, Walter Nolan, Derek Harmon, Darius Alexander, top five coming into this year's draft. Top two, of course, being Michigan guys. Everyone's going to have a lot of great things to say about Michigan. Sometimes they don't always pan out. You know, one name comes to mind is he was on the Pats, linebacker.
Was it the late round guy?
What? Chase Winovich. That's one thing.
Oh, hold on. Don't disrespect Winovich like that. He was.
I'm not going to disrespect him like that, but.
Also, he was actually solid in New England, and he was getting better. The issue is he just didn't fit the scheme, and Belichick, you know, quite literally did not want to change it for him, even though he was one of our more productive defenders.
Yeah.
Like, and he was forced out, but it's whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, CJ, give me your thoughts on these guys. You can go in on each one however you want. You know, treated the same as Tuesday, essentially. Give me underrated guys. Give me overrated guys. Is there someone that you think that should be named in the potential top five list of guy of defensive tackles? Ready, set, go.
Appreciate it. I do. Look, we'll get there when we get there. But first and foremost, the number one defensive tackle in this draft, beyond a shadow of a doubt, Michigan's Mason Graham. Overall, I would say, is a top five prospect in this entire draft. And that's really tough for a defensive tackle to do because, you know, like the edge rushers, you know, they're far sexier, you know, like the, you know, the, or those blitzing linebackers everyone loves. Seems like the art of the defensive tackle has truly been lost, but not anymore. And look no further than Mason Graham, 6'4", 296. This guy, he's just a beast in the middle, just, once again, when you look at pass rushers or just defensive linemen in general, what you want is that explosive first step, and he's got it. And despite the fact, despite the fact that, you know, he's a defensive tackle in general, his lateral agility is just nuts. The change of direction at the line, going from pass rush to run defense, is insane. Like, there's barely any transition at all, and that is great. And one of the things that you look at for pass rushers is strength, right? And he's got that and then some. Don't get it twisted, but it's the technique that I like. You know, up until this season, he was coached by, well, NFL coach Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, and that is evidenced in his technique. He's a hand fighter. He's not just a bull rusher. He uses his hands. He can push offensive linemen off center. And that's something that I think will translate very well to the NFL. He's got this great understanding of leverage points. He can diagnose gaps quickly, and he can align anywhere from O-tech to 5-tech. So once again, it's not just the strength. It's not just the speed. It's that 6 inches between his ears, you know? The gray matter, as it were. His football IQ is outstanding. The only issue is that he's a good hand fighter, yeah. And he's a good bull rusher, but he's not the most consistent when it comes to pass rush in general. And he can get tired fairly quickly, like, especially, you know, he's hitting the old hands on the knees stance by like midway through the third quarter. And when he gets fatigued, he gets his pads high, and everyone and their mother knows, whether you played football or whether you didn't, that's not good. But once again, these things can be coached out of him. So that's Mason Graham. You know him, you love him. He's great as it is. But for me, I look at PFF's third ranked defensive tackle. I actually think it's the second best overall. Walter Nolan from Ole Miss. Now, this guy here. Once again, another one with an explosive first snap. First step at this point, just assume they have it unless I say they don't. He's another one where just great understanding of leverage, natural winner at the line, good lateral agility, great processing skills against the run, and just he's a pure pass rusher, if that makes sense. You know, 6.5 sacks as the defensive tackle, that is nothing to sneeze at. But the one thing I will say about Nolan, once again, something that can easily be coached out of him if he's willing to learn, which I do think he is that his pass rush toolkit consists of bull rush, and that's literally it. He way too frequently relies on pure athleticism. And Chris, you know, you play football, you know, pure athleticism always loses to technique. Technique beats athleticism 10 out of 10 times. And that's something that if he doesn't change, he's going to have to learn the hard way in the NFL. But once again, that's just a coaching thing and it can be fixed. He definitely has the potential for it. Then, of course, let's talk about Kenneth Grant from the University of Michigan, another Michigan guy. Look, by the way, I do want to correct something earlier about Mason Graham. He's 320. I was looking at his freshman measurements. Please forgive me. But oh, man, Kenneth Grant, 6'4", 331, runs a 5.140, which is pretty good for a guy of that size, and just has a 81-inch wingspan. So, once again, all this is from Pro Football NFL Draft Buzz, sorry. But yeah, so Grant is like another Mason Graham, right? But more raw in the sense he has everything that Grant had, or no. Grant has everything that Graham has, but just, like I said, a little more raw, maybe like a tiny bit sloppier. That word is way too harsh for him, but still. He plays with high pads consistently. He's another one that, like I said, has a good wingspan, good arm extension, but doesn't always utilize it. Like, he has all the tools in his toolkit, but he just doesn't use them. And he's really more of a run stuffer than anything, and his ability to get to the quarterback just gets so – it's hot and cold. And there's one thing, this might sound like it doesn't matter, but it kind of does. Weight management has been weird because he fluctuates. He's been as high as 360 and as low as 320. Like, the amount of time that it has fluctuated at Michigan might be something that if I'm a scout, I'm gonna be like, huh, now what's that there? Once again, though, once you get to the NFL, that can be fixed. That's something with a lot of prospects. But, you know, a lot of them have to be receptive to it. And come on, he's a Michigan man. I feel like he will. Then, of course, there's Oregon's Derek Harmon. Once again, same strengths, but he's not as great as the three mentioned before. Another one where he's just inconsistent, and he's also just really over-aggressive. And there are times where I feel like he watches his stats a bit too much, if that makes sense. He's so eager to just chase the sack, right? To chase the tackle for a loss or just to chase the tackle that there are times where he just outright loses control of the ball. So I feel like he needs to maybe not eye the stat sheet as much and maybe just eye the playbook a tiny bit more. Because once he gets around that, then I think he'll be fine. And also, his motor can be a little inconsistent, but you know that can tie to the stat chasing that he does. And by the way, about Derek Harmon, he started at Michigan State before going to Oregon. And I remember during Michigan State days, his motor just ran hot and cold. And this did disappear like entirely when he was at Oregon. So, you know, the red flags are there, but they've kind of faded a bit. So, but, you know, it's something that any good scout would know. And I'm going to be real, Chris. Darius Alexander from Toledo, not one of my favorite prospects here. I'm not certain that he's really in my top 10 for defensive tackles. Look, I'm not Pro Football Focus. I know that, I don't have their fancy grading system, but still, look, I just go by the eye test and what I see. And just another one where just he can't figure out pad level. He's another one that just loses gap integrity when he chases sacks. His hand placement is practically non-existent, and he doesn't even have like a real pass rush toolkit. Every move is different. It's just random. And another one where just his motor just almost isn't there. He's not explosive. He's not fired up. He's just kind of there. He's another one where you're gambling on the athleticism, right? He is a project. He's the project's project. And let's be real, he's got a great frame, 6'4", 305, an 82-inch wingspan, 34-inch arms, runs a 4.9 40, 111-inch broad jump. So once again, it's like it's the athleticism you're banking on, but he's a project. And no, he's not going in the first round pick. So frankly, I don't know what Pro Football Focus is on putting him in the top five, but he should not be. Then there are other guys, too, that I like. Like TJ Sanders from South Carolina, Tyleek Williams from The Ohio State University, Alfred Collins from Texas, Omar Norman Lott from Tennessee, Dale Walker from Kentucky, Jordan Phillips from Maryland, Joshua Farmer from Florida State. These are guys that I will put over Alexander. But for me, my personal fifth is Tyleek Williams from Ohio State. That there's a big man, 334, 6'3", but runs a 4.7 40, Chris, at that size. He's just an athletic.
That's fast. That's scary.
Yeah, he's just an athletic freak. And I can sum him up in two words, weight room. This guy is the power rusher's power rusher. Advanced hand usage, at least in the run game. Just a violent tackler. Great balance for that size as well. And he's another one where he's just a dog, and any NFL team would be lucky to have this guy. But the only real issue that I have with him is, once again, like another, like a lot of these defensive tackles, is that he doesn't really have much beyond the bull rush, and his wingspan is great. You and I both know there's a difference between wingspan and outright arm length, right? His wingspan is great. His arm length is a little below average, and sometimes he can get hooked on guards with longer arms. But if you're that strong, then there's a reason these aren't big issues, at least at the college level. Because when you're that strong, you can obviously just push guys away, right? But yeah, overall, those are my defensive tackles, right? That I just really wanted to go over real fast. Once again, Mason Graham's the number one. He's a slam dunk first round pick, more likely than not going to go in the top 10 as a whole. I would call him my fourth best prospect in this draft, only behind Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, and Ashton Jeanty. By the way, Abdul Carter, more on that in a bit. And Walter Nolan, I can also see going in the first round. As for the others, especially like Kenneth Grant or Derek Harmon and Williams, it's not out of the question they go first, but I'm not betting on it. Overall, I would say Graham and Nolan are my two first round locks for this position as a whole.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, you mentioned top 10 pick or potentially being a top 10 pick. You know, some teams are in need of getting some interior D linemen, the Jaguars, obviously the Giants, but they're probably going to go in a different direction. Raiders, Jets are up there. Saints is in need of both edge rushers and defensive tackles. San Francisco, that's outside of the top 10, but then you throw in Chicago. There's a lot of defensive tackle needy teams that are at the back end of the top 10, that you could definitely make a case that Mason Graham is probably going to go to any of those five teams, or really six teams, I should say, if you want to throw in Jacksonville in there as well. So there's that. Some other teams to think about too. Kansas City, probably trying to get the next Chris Jones once he retires. Cincinnati, they just need a whole wipe down, which is what we, same thing that we said on Tuesday, just about their whole defense. Yeah, but those are some teams that are going to be defensive tackle needy for in a couple weeks. So kind of interesting. So as you mentioned, Mason Graham, very high probability that he'll end up going top 10, but we won't know till the actual day.
I want to point out
what
perhaps top five. I don't top see, five,
yeah.
I mean, I don't see Jacksonville passing up on him. I really don't.
Yeah. Exactly. Regardless, top 10, top five, mm-hmm. all within the same sphere. But we're going to step aside for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look at the edge rushers. Who needs them? Who doesn't need them? Who's underrated? Who's overrated? Abdul Carter. Don't really know where the hell he's going still. This is the Fumble Risky Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns. Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Risky Podcast, Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Chris Kostich. He's CJ Medeiros. Take a look at the top-ranked edge rushers coming into this draft. Top five, most specifically. Abdul Carter at the top. It's no big surprise. Absolute dog. Most likely going to be a top two pick. We still don't know what the fuck's going to happen.
No, but we don't.
Yeah. After that, it's Marshall's Mike Green, BC Donovan Ziraku. James Pierce out of Tennessee, and Mikel Williams out of Georgia. Some tall motherfuckers, too, especially when you look, especially Pierce and Williams, both standing in at 6'5". Williams, 6'5", 265. That's a lot of weight on that fella. But yeah, it's some interesting ones. I know that Isiraku was starting to gain a little bit of steam, especially after the NFL Combine. Same thing with Mike Green from Marshall. Would love to see another Marshall star. That'd be kind of cool. Marshall?
Yeah.
I'm a Marshall guy. I don't know what it is. Just I like.
Is it Green. Randy Moss, Chris? Is it Randy
Moss?
Yeah,
Randy Moss. Chad Pennington.
Okay, you took a bit of a...
We need not some...
A took a step down.
We need some more herd. How about that?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah.
So,
but, CJ, talk to me. What's going on here?
So, Marshall, edge rushers. Obviously, you know, take everything I'm about to say and forget it. I'm going on a new tangent. For the love of God, we got to stop putting stock into PFF's rankings. And I'm not blaming you, Chris. I'm just saying, like, in general, it's so stupid, Chris. I hate their rankings so much. They're so ridiculous. Some of the most ridiculous I've ever seen. So first, Abdul Carter, obviously. He's a athletic freak. You know what I mean? 6'3", 250. Runs, I believe, a 4.6 40. Okay, a 4.48 40. There we go. Just the one of, if not the best first step in this entire pass rush draft. Just flexible, natural, violent tackler. Even has some background in off ball linebacker with great spatial awareness. He's just got this great burst in pursuit. He has this cross chop that should terrify you. and just good arm length, great athleticism, and he's also known to get cleanup sacks and cleanup tackles as well. Now, you could talk about the injury history, right? You know, with the ankle, but we've heard that's been clearing up nicely and he's not going to need surgery. That's fine. And sure, he can rely heavily on his athleticism, which he has in bunches. But there's one thing that has kind of been swept under the rug that a lot of teams, I think, need to really take heed of. It's the two words you never want to hear when talking about a candidate: character concerns. Look, this is the modern NFL. There are more divas now than there were even 10 years ago. And no, not every player you draft is going to be a choir boy and wide receivers. But the motor isn't always there for him. In fact, some analysts have said outright, if you're on defensive line, you got to be a dog, right? You know, D-A-W-G. He's just not a dog. Like, I don't see that in him. The motor and the effort to say run hot and cold is inconsistent. See, here's the thing. He only works one day a week, okay? And that's on Sundays, or Saturdays, technically, because it's college ball, and it's going to be Sundays. The thing is, though, he's just not that hard of a worker. And I'm hoping that's going to, you know, level out once we get to the NFL, but it might not. And the thing is, he's a physical freak, yeah, but other than the character problems, he's kind of undersized at 6'3", 350, or 250, or at least for an edge rusher. But yeah, that, I don't think that's a big issue, but it's just, it's the character problems. And the closer we get to the draft, there are more and more reports coming out seemingly at the 11th hour about just the character problems. He's just not a hard worker. He might be a massive diva. But make no mistake, boys and girls, the upside is there. I cannot stress that enough. The upside is there. He is, I don't know, I waffle him as having him as the best prospect or not. It's him or Travis Hunter for me personally. But you could, depending on the day, you could probably sway me into calling him the best prospect overall. So, but yeah, I honestly don't know. I'm kind of leaning towards a lot of these character things aren't true, because like I said, this is smokescreen season with the draft, and they might be doing that to throw other teams off the scent. And as for where he goes, he's not falling out of the top five. That much I promise you. Obviously, yeah, the Titans are going to go Cam Ward at pick one. It's the worst kept secret in the entire league. And I keep hearing, the Browns might pass on, the Giants might pass on him. I'm sorry, if that happens, then I don't see a world where New England passes on him. But I mean, Vrabel, I feel like, could whip him into shape if the character concerns are as real as they say. But yeah, overall, Abdul Carter, at this point, you already know him. He's great. But who else is there? Me personally, my number two is Tennessee's James Pierce Jr. This guy runs a sub 4.5 40. He's 6'5", 81-inch wingspan, and he is the modern pass rusher, right? He's the speed rusher, the with the finesse moves. That's great. However, he's 245 pounds. He's going to need to put on 5 to 10 at the next level. He just has this remarkable agility, this remarkable bend, just natural instincts, great awareness, and like I said, fast, closing speed, can make tackles in open space. As soon as he gets off his block, he's like a rocket right to the quarterback, and one of the best football IQs for all the pass rushers. But remember how I said he's your stereotypical speed rusher, your finesse rusher? That means he's not a power rusher, and the play strength a lot of times just isn't there. And you have these bigger linemen that can, with one hand, can oftentimes completely throw him off his rhythm. And if it can happen in the SEC, then it's going to happen in the NFL. and he just needs to develop more counter moves. Sometimes when his initial rush is stalled, it's enough to neutralize him outright. But you can't, I mean, you can, but you can do it inconsistently, at least. You just can't outspeed or just, I know that's not a word, but still, you can't just outrun linemen that are stronger than you. And overall, he's just got to get off his blocks quicker. But overall, he is well worth a first-round pick. I mean, he is. He is. Like, I mean, I know I just said, oh, he's not as strong as you'd like, but it's not just speed. It's agility. And sure, he's not a bull rusher. Sure, he's not that strong, at least as far as edge rushers go. But his hand movement, like the swing moves, the chop moves, these cross chops, he's got that down pat, I promise you. And look, Chris, I'm going to be honest with you. Mike Green is not in my top five. Actually, I might have to reconsider that. But I can tell you that Donovan Iziriaku is not. He's just not. I'm sorry. You can.
You're saying both Mike Green and Iziriaku?
No. They're not. Actually, Green is at least top 10. I don't think Iziriaku is.
Yeah.
You know, I just.
Please explain.
So I'll start
filling in those top five spots then.
I'll get there. But I would just like to say outright, Green is at least in my top 10. So for me as a whole, it goes Carter, Pierce, Michael Williams, and then give me the two Texas A&M boys, Nick Skowerton and Shamar Stewart, then Jack Sawyer, and then Mike Green. Iziriaku, on the other hand, push him back. I put Princely, I'm going to butcher his name. It's like, I think it's Uman Milan from Ole Miss, I would have above him. JT Tuimalau, I am also putting over him. Josiah Stewart from Michigan, I'm easily putting over him. Ashton Jalot from Louisville, over him. But yeah, no, Iziriaku is probably just outside my top 10. But I'm not saying he's not bad. And honestly, if he came out last year, he's probably like a late first round pick. It's just, this is a stacked pass rush class. In fact, when it comes to edge rushers and just defensive linemen, DTs, DEs in general, far and away, this is one of the deepest D-line classes we've seen in a solid bit. So if D-line is your biggest position in need, help is on the way. So my third is Mikel Williams from Georgia. Just another just athletic monster. 6'5", 260, 4'7", 4'8", 40, which, you know, isn't the most important for a D lineman, but still, just power, scheme versatility. He can play standing up or he can play with his hand in the dirt. You can put him anywhere. Just has that natural leverage, great play recognition, a nasty bull rush, and an elite motor. This man never gets down, never gives up, never quits. Just great agility, and he's just a natural, pure-born pass rusher. The issue, though, is, once again, stop me if you've heard this one before, just needs more moves in his arsenal. He's a power rusher. What you see is what you get. And sometimes when he's moved inside, he can throttle tackles, right? That's what he does. But it's the guards that concern me. I have seen guards and sometimes centers, when they blitz him inside, just completely stonewall him, which is kind of weird. Usually it's the inverse. But yeah, he's just not as effective rushing from inside. But he can. He's still good, but just not at that high of a quality. But make no mistake, he's still very versatile, and he can fit a variety of schemes in the league. Then I'm going to put these two together here from the Texas A&M boys, Nick Skowerton and Shamar Stewart. Once again, just both monsters. Skowerton, 6'3", 257. Shamar Stewart, I believe, is 6'6", 270. Now, imagine having both of those guys on the same line. If you're Texas A&M, that's nuts. So, for Shamar Stewart, he's a project. All right, I'm going to tell you that right now. He is a project. Another physical freak who runs a 4.6 40, 40-inch vertical, 131-inch broad jump, 83-inch wingspan. Like I said, about like 6'6", 270. But he's a project, right? His pass rush stats just flat out don't match his athleticism. He had 31 tackles last season, but only 1.5 sacks. He had like a bunch of pressures, don't get me wrong. I think he was in double digits when it came to pressures, which is really good. But he struggles converting pressures into sacks. And I mean, that's pretty much it. Sometimes he's like just a tick late off the snap. His pad level is inconsistent and he's very raw, you know? Like I said, he's another one where he's just an athletic freak that if he goes to the right scheme, he's going to be really, really dangerous. Then, of course, the other one, Nick Skowerton. He's the real pass rusher of the two. He can be inconsistent, and a lot of that stems from lack of agility. There's lots of wasted motion. He's very tight around the feet and hips, but still, he's super athletic. He's a solid speed rusher. He's a great bull rusher. His first step is not the best, but hey, it gets the job done. And he's just got that natural play strength that you would kill for as a coach. And once again, a motor that never stops running. Then I'm going to end on Mike Green. Like I said, he's not one of my favorite prospects. I think he's underrated. But I'm going to tell you this right now. He's also kind of like Abdul Carter, where he's undersized, you know, 6'3", 251. Sub 4'6", 40. That is great. But get this. Ready? Ready, Chris? 17 sacks last season. That is amazing. 3 forced fumbles, 81 tackles. And I know what you're thinking at home. But with all those numbers, why isn't he put up higher? Small school guy. Okay, yeah. I wouldn't call Marshall small as far as football goes, but let's be real. If you aren't in the Power Five, unless you're like Notre Dame because they're an independent school, but you know, if you're not Power Five, you're going to be scrutinized extra hard. And that's just not for D-line. That goes for all positions. I mean, for example, also in this draft, wide receiver Nick Nash from San Jose State, I think led the country in like damn near everything, but he's at earliest going fourth round because, you know, small school. For example, arguably the greatest single season, at least statistically, for a quarterback was Bailey Zappi, who threw for like over 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns. However, he's from Western Kentucky, so he went in the fourth round. And the thing is, you know, when you play in like not Power Five, you're just not playing against a lot of times NFL level competition. And don't get me wrong, Mike Green is still good. I still think he can dominate in Power Five. I do. In fact, he's even got some Von Miller comparisons, just having this advanced pass rush toolkit, great hands, great closing burst. Once again, natural instincts, elite change of direction. Like high consistency, but once again, it's easy to be a big fish in a small pond. And some of his open space tackling is kind of spotty. And honestly, in the NFL, you're going to be asked to do a little bit of everything, right? And in a lot of times, these edge rushers get dropped into coverage, right? Obviously, it's not a big deal, but they never drop him into coverage. So, at least in Marshall, I think he's only played like 21 coverage snaps. and not even like stunting at the quarterback and dropping back. But for example, even guys like Abdul Carter, right, and James Pierce do have experience in coverage, right? Green does not. And if there's a coach that says, hey, we're going to need you to cover the tight end on this player, at least drop in a zone, he's going to get bullied. So you are drafting a pure pass rusher. He's not the best in run defense. He is your true modern-day pass rush specialist, and that's why he's not in my top five. But he's still in my top 10. He's very good, and I don't think he should go in the first round, just personally.
Nice. Nice little roundup there, Mr. CJ.
I appreciate it. I do.
Take a look at the teams that are looking for edge rushers. As we mentioned, in terms of both New Orleans, San Francisco, San Francisco kind of cleaned out their D-line, so they're going to be looking to re-up.
Mostly, pretty much.
Yeah. So they're going to be looking to re-up on defense. Arizona, they kind of need to get a wash down as well. Buffalo. Freaking Buffalo. They're kind of like Cincinnati. They need a whole makeover on defense. Dallas, they're looking for somewhat. They lost to Marcus Lawrence, so they're going to have to find someone else to pair up with Micah Parsons. Philly, it's a team that's losing guys. Guys been getting poached, so got to re-up there. Washington, that's a team that is, you know, it's growing and growing every single day. They've pretty much figured it out on offense. They just need to figure it out on defense. They also lost Jonathan Allen, so they're looking to re-up the D-line. Tampa Bay, the team that used to flourish off of the defense, big pass rush, they're looking to re-up again for potentially another Super Bowl run for all we know, or at least a playoff run, because it's a team that can definitely get there if they stay healthy. Yeah. But those are just a couple teams that are going to be edge rusher needy. CJ, you mentioned Atlanta, because I was just going down the list of, or just writing these teams down of what their needs are. But you mentioned Atlanta, and it's like they had the one Vic Beasley year, and ever since they've kind of been scratching and clawing for something similar and haven't really come close to it, especially with a Atlanta team that you would think that would have been a lot better defensively, but they just weren't. Or at least this past season, they just weren't.
Yeah. It just feels like every year when we talk about team needs, Atlanta is pass rush. You know what I mean? That might just be me, but it's like, and every season Atlanta just doesn't address it. And then they're shocked when quarterbacks have like all day to throw. And even though their defensive backfield's actually pretty good, quarterbacks just keep picking them apart because, you know, they have all day. And defensive backs, as great as some of them are, can only do it for so long when the play breaks down and wide receivers just start acting unpredictably. And we keep hearing things like, oh, you know, Atlanta's just going to punt on this need. And that happens. You can't address all your needs in one offseason. And there are some needs where you're just going to have to punt it to next offseason, right? But everyone's like, oh, Atlanta's going to wait till next offseason to address pass rush. Then they're going to wait to the next one. Like, you have to address it. Like, you just have to.
Yeah. You got to figure it out. That's mm-hmm. long and short of it, really. But that's all of our scheduled content for today. That's really it, at least on my end. Nico, I am a leave not at practice this morning for spring practice. A college holding. We now have college hold-ins for NIL.
Also, Nico Amaliava is the same guy that got obliterated by Ohio State in the playoffs. So, buddy, please check yourself.
Yeah. Speaking of Nick Scorton from Texas A&M, we obviously CJ just got done talking about him. Just had a visit last night, or visiting with Philly last night and tomorrow. Mm. So, potentially first round pick.
Dangerous.
Huh?
I don't know if he'd fall that far, but if he does, oh man, Philly, he'd be dangerous there.
Yeah. So that's potentially something to look out for. Once again, like we said, it's smokescreen season. Don't know what's going to happen till Thursday the 24th.
Good Lord. Less than 2 weeks away. Can you wait, kids? I know I sure can.
Yeah. Other news as well, real quick. Isaiah Bond turning himself into the Frisco, Texas Police Department yesterday morning. A matter related to an outstanding warrant for sexual assault. Posted bond, subsequently released, but oof. Obviously we're going to talk about wide receivers once we get closer to the draft, but that's going to be a massive.
Yeah, his stock was already falling, and now with the whole lackluster 40 and now this, his first round slam dunk status was gone. Then after the combine and, you know, his pro day, it fell like to the point where I don't think he's going in the first round. Now, I can guarantee that he's not. And honestly, a small part of me wouldn't be shocked if he went in round three now, or like really late round two. I mean, I hope for the sake of like everybody, it's not real, but
yeah.
Hey.
A statement from Isaiah Bond: regarding the accusation made against me, I would appreciate the time and opportunity to defend myself and prove the claims made patently false. I am in full cooperation with the authorities and will remain a willing and active participant in the investigation. Unfortunately, claims like these prove to be harmful to all involved. Absent full review, I kindly request that all reserve judgment until the authorities provide a complete report based on truth and evidence. But regardless, truth or not, you've brought drama upon yourself, whether it be by your own doing, whether it be by someone else's doing. There's now drama upon yourself, and a lot of teams don't want to deal with drama. A lot of teams are like companies. If you're going to bring drama, they don't want any part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's unfortunate. It really is a very unfortunate situation. But as you alluded to, though, CJ, his stock was already falling. So this can only, if he hasn't hit rock bottom in terms of the draft stock, he's most likely going to hit it now, regardless if he's innocent or not, unfortunately. Yeah. But that's everything that we got going for you guys today. Thank you for tuning in for another Friday edition of the Fumble Rooski podcast. More draft coverage coming your way on Tuesday at 7:30. And be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. All of our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, and so much more along with YouTube. And be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast, to keep up with our pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, for myself, Chris Costa, CJ Medeiros, the draft guy, we'll see you on Tuesday. Over and out.